Two jars may look exactly the same. They may be the same size and appear to be filled with the same substance. But they're knocked over. And one reveals that vinegar is inside, is poured out. And the other, being knocked over, reveals that there's honey inside, it's oozing out. Initially, they looked exactly the same. But when there was an upset, it was discovered that what was inside was totally different. Well, our lives, when they're upset, when we're caught off guard, when something unexpected happens, what's revealed? How do we react? Is it vinegar or is it honey? Is it bitterness or sourness in our lives, or is it sweetness? Now, in our passage, we have two people revealed. We have the good tree that bears good fruit. We have the bad tree that bears bad fruit. And Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you are by nature will be revealed in your life. If by nature God has changed your heart and given you a new heart, well, that will be revealed in your speech. It will be revealed in your life. There will be good fruit because God has given you a new heart. But if you're not yet regenerate, if your heart has not yet been changed by the Lord, if you're still in your sin, though outwardly at times you may appear to be moral and at times may appear to be good, well, eventually your true colours will be seen, because a bad tree will always bear bad fruit. Jesus, in the second half of his sermon, he's concerned about hypocrisy. He's concerned about the blind leaders of the blind, those who had a sort of faith, who had a religion, who had a belief in God, who sought to practice the law of God, but were hypocrites. They wore masks. Before others, they looked good, but inwardly, they were bad. Jesus later would say to them, woe to you, you're like whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, you look good, but inside those tombs, there are dead men's bones. He's concerned that people just wouldn't say, Lord, Lord, and not do the things that he said. So we have a very challenging passage before us this morning. Now, Jesus knows the heart. He knows when we entertain bitter thoughts, anger, hatred, non-forgiveness, lust, impurity, covetousness, deceit. He sees that which others do not see. A person at work can look quite good. A neighbour can appear very moral. But God sees into the heart. Jesus, he knows the private life. He knows everything that's happening. And we're told in this passage that what is in the heart will be revealed in the speech. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we're going to look at three things this morning. First of all, in verses 43 to 45, we're going to look at this. Who you are determines what you produce. It really matters who you are, what the state of your heart is like. Who you are determines what you produce. Secondly, in verse 46, we're going to consider this, that orthodox confessions are not enough. It's not enough simply to say, Jesus is Lord. And then thirdly, verses 47 to 49, we're going to see that there is only one way to stand before the judgment of God. There's coming a great judgment. Jesus is coming again. And there's only one way to stand in the day of judgment. Now, Jesus uses different images. We have the image of two trees. We also have the image of two foundations. We also have a picture of treasure. Well, where is your heart? Where's your treasure? Is it good treasure in your heart? Is, Is Jesus there? Is the gospel there? Is the Holy Spirit there? Or is there evil treasure? Do you prize the things of this world? So we have different images that are given to us. Very straightforward, what Jesus is saying is very simple. And we need to take it at face value. So first of all, verses 43 to 45. What you are determines what you produce. Verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit. There may be seasons where it's not producing as much fruit as possible. It may be attacked for a while, but if it's good at the core, it remains good and it will bear good fruit. And a bad tree that's rotten, that's dying, well, it will bear bad fruit. Certainly if it's poisonous, well, there's no way that you can make anything poisonous, good and clean and pure and edible. It will always be poisonous. A bad tree bears bad fruit. Jesus puts it this way, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns. In Galilee, there were lovely fig trees, often on the hills of Galilee. And as they began to grow initially, they couldn't be distinguished with the thorny trees beside. And eventually, then they would be seen. The figs would come out and you would know which tree was which. But it was never true that you could gather figs from a thorn tree. And he also says this, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Jesus is saying something very plain, isn't he? What you are at heart really matters. And you yourself cannot change yourself. Many people think, well, I need to improve my life. I need to make my life better. But if you're a bramble, you'll always be a bramble. If you're a thorn, you'll always be a thorn. There's nothing that you can do. You need an organic change, a change at heart. If you're to bear fruit that pleases God, you need a change on the inside. The Bible teaches us this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says this, that the natural man, that's the person who's born into this world, grows up in this world, the natural man does not receive the things of God, nor can he, for they are spiritually discerned. The Bible says that naturally, we cannot receive the things of God. Our hearts are closed to the things of God. The Bible teaches that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so, if a person's heart is not regenerate, if it's not changed by God, if God doesn't open that heart and save a person and give them a new heart, that person will practice sin. That person is born in sin. It has a closed heart to God, and it will practice sin, and that's just what we see. A little child will start to lie. A little child will disrespect its parents and disobey its parents. And as it grows up into a teenager, it will naturally swear. A child will do, yes, learning things from others, but because within the heart there's this bias towards sin, that teenager will progress in sin, and a person becomes older in their 20s and 30s, and they grow older in their sin and more deceitful in their practices. And that's the life of a person. Yes, they may do good, and yes, they may be kind, but there's always this bias away from God and always this bias to sin. It is part of the nature of a person. And that's why, as a church, we have wonderful good news. we have the remedy for this. And the remedy is the Lord Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to rescue sinners from their sin. He came into the world to change men and women's and boys and girls' hearts. He said this with the scriptures that says this, that whoever receives him, these are given the right to become the children of God. Whoever receives Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour, these are given the right to be called the children of the living God. And they're born not of human descent. It's not that they're born Christians, not because their parents are Christians, that they can become Christians. They're not born of human descent, not born of blood. They're not born of the will of the flesh or a human decision. They don't become Christians, and they're not born again and come into the family of God by their own human will and human decision. John 1:13 clearly says. But they're born of God. God's Spirit comes from without, and he comes within. And he convicts them of sin, and he shows them that Jesus is their Saviour, and they believe in him, and they receive him as their Lord and their Saviour. And they're given a new heart, and things begin to change in their life. They start to hate the things they once hated. And they begin to love the things of God. And they love Jesus. And God is now moulding them and making them like Jesus. And fruit is seen in their lives. There's faith there. There's purity there. There's joy there. There's patience there. The Holy Spirit is living within them. And the good tree is bearing good fruit. Once they were a bad tree, bearing bad fruit. And that bad tree could not bear good fruit. But God changed them. And now they're bearing good fruit. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes from within your heart? Jesus had to teach the Pharisees that true religion is not about externals. They were concerned when Jesus, his disciples, were not washing their hands in a ceremonial form and not washing pots and pitchers in a way that they should. And Jesus had to say to them, you know, these things don't defile a man. It's not the things from without that defile a person. For example, food. You eat food and it goes into your body and it's excreted from your body. It doesn't defile the body. What defiles a man is the things that come from within the heart. Is out of the heart comes evil thoughts, fornication, adulteries, covetousness, anger, greed. Do you remember that old computer saying, "Gigo, garbage in, garbage out"? Well, we mustn't think of it in the there's garbage in the world, and the garbage in the world will somehow infect me, and then it'll get in me and it'll get out. The garbage is actually within our heart. Yes, we learn bad practices also from others, and because it's in there, it will come out. The Bible says this in Romans 3. This is natural man. The throat is an open tomb. Their tongue practices deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. This is man without God. Without the restraining grace of God. Without the goodness of God in his life. Where's your heart? Jesus was very concerned for those who he's preaching to. Remember when he preached his sermon, there were different circles. He had the inner circle around him. There were the 12 that he called. Then there were other disciples around him. And they were listening. Then there were the multitudes around him. And there were the Pharisees as well. And he was warning the people about the Pharisees. Had he not said earlier in the sermon, verse 39, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? He was concerned for the people around him, that they were following these blind leaders of the blind, these Pharisees who were leading people to hell. And he was trying to tell them, watch them, they're false prophets, how can you tell? How can you tell that these Pharisees are false? It's by the deeds of their lives. It's by the fruit that's in them. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And then if you go down to verse 20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Jesus is teaching the multitudes, be very careful with whoever it may be, whether it's a vicar, priest, pastor, whatever title they have, whatever religiously, if they're not leading God-honoring, fruitful lives, watch out for them. Wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll know them by their fruits. So our first point this morning is this. So what you are determines what you will produce. What are you this morning? Are you a child of God? Has God saved you? If you're not, call upon the name of Jesus and you will be saved. What he did upon the cross is sufficient for you. His blood was shed that your sins might be forgiven. Come to Jesus and believe in him. What's your heart like? The leopard cannot change his spots, nor can the Ethiopian change his skin. You cannot change your own heart. God must do it. Call upon him to save you. Jesus said this, he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What a wonderful promise. He who believes in Jesus, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The psalmist says this, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. Is God's law imprinted upon your heart? Do you love God's law? What's your life? Is it murmuring or thankfulness? Is it cursing or blessing? Is it revenge or forgiveness? Is it deceit or truth? Is it critical judgmentalism or mercy? Is it a giving spirit or a covetous spirit? Is it uncleanness or is it purity? Where is your heart this morning? The good tree bears good fruit. The bad tree bears bad fruit. We're not talking about perfection. But we're talking about the direction of your life. Is the direction of your life to please God, or is it to please self? And then secondly, verse 46. Orthodox confessions are not enough. Jesus says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? There were now multitudes of people following him. He had lots of people who were known to be his disciples. But he was concerned that they were practicing what he taught them. Matthew's gospel has an extended version of verse 46. And there, Jesus says this. He says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonders in your name. But I tell you, Jesus says, that on the last day you will hear the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Jesus was concerned for people. They may be prophesying, preaching. They may cast out demons. They may perform great miracles. But unless Jesus is truly Lord of their lives, Master, unless he's entered their hearts, on the last day they hear those awful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Notice here the double confession, "Lord, Lord." In one sense, it's saying there's a certain amount of zeal in these people. They're very much up for Jesus. They're up for Christianity. That's the right, the religion. This is the way to go. We believe in him. "Lord, Lord," they say. An orthodox confession. But Jesus knows that it's not enough to say it with your lips. You must believe in your heart. What does the Bible say? If you confess Jesus as Lord with your lips, but you also believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It has to be from the heart. There's a great danger that's arisen over the last century and a half, and it's called the altar call, or it's called decisionism. We'll call people to the front, and if a person says or signs a card, "I believe in Jesus, I decide today to follow him," we then give them a sticker almost, or we certainly pray for them and say, "Welcome into the family of God, you've been saved." Where do you ever find that in the whole of the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Is that what the Bible teaches? Has that ever been said? Quite the opposite. Jesus was concerned about that sort of thing. People just with their lips. Now that doesn't mean that people have come forward. I came forward when I was the age of 12 in a church. That doesn't mean that a person at that point may not believe in their heart. But it isn't a guarantee that they're saved. Orthodox confessions are not enough. But then lastly, verses 47 to 49. "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." Isn't that wonderful? Here's the person. They know they're a sinner. They know that they can't build their lives upon any other foundation but Jesus, but they come to him. They lay their lives before him. They confess him as their Lord and Saviour. They repent of their sin. And their lives are founded upon Jesus Christ. They'll go through hardship. They'll go through difficulty. They'll go through tough times in life. But they'll bear fruit. And on that last day, when the day of judgment comes, when Jesus comes with great flaming fire with all the holy angels to judge the living and the dead, in that day they'll stand. In that day they'll be taken up to be with him in glory. Their lives are founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ. They're in him. They're on a sure foundation. Nothing in all the world can shake them. The devil cannot pluck them from the Father's hands. They can never lose their salvation. They're in Christ. He's their rock. That's a wonderful truth. They've heard his word. They've obeyed his word. And then Jesus ends with a warning. Verse 49. "But he who heard and did nothing," the person who heard the good news of Jesus, never repented of their sins, never came by faith to Jesus, just thought, "Well, that's that church's form of belief. I prefer the other way, the other church explains it. And, well, they could be right, but they may be wrong, and so I'm not going to commit myself to this, and there's other beliefs as well, and who really knows anyway?" Jesus says, "Whoever hears and does nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus ends his sermon on a negative, on a challenge, because he's concerned. He doesn't want people to plunge into hell. Do you remember those homes on the east coast of of Britain. And some of them were makeshift fabric homes that built on that, right on the cliff's edge. And the waves came in. There was so much sand there, sand dunes, they were swept into the sea. And Jesus is concerned for people like that. Their lives are built on flimsy things. They're built on things like their own good works, which are just like filthy rags. Their lives are built on their own religion, an outward form of godliness which denies all the power of God. Their lives are built on their own goodness, their own righteousness, their own way of doing things, their own ideology. And they'll never stand in the day of judgment. They will collapse. What about you? Is your life built on a sure foundation? In this sermon, there are tremendously challenging things that we've read. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive. Give and it will be given to you. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Tremendously challenging words have been given to us. And how can we obey such wonderful and yet challenging words? Only by God's grace. Only by the Holy Spirit coming to live within our hearts. Only by God changing us and making us like Jesus, giving us that new heart, putting his law within us. Jesus ends by asking people the question, are you the good tree or are you the bad tree? What is the treasure in your heart? Is it good treasure or is it evil treasure? What is the foundation of your life? Is it a rock or is it shifting sand? May it be that all of us are found firm in Jesus Christ. Amen.